In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
It was supposed to be the end of the pandemic and the start of the best summer ever.
On July the 1st, on Canada Day, Alberta's public health measures will be lifted and our lives will get back to normal.
Are you glad that Alberta is open for summer? And that Alberta will be open for good?
When Alberta reopened and removed almost all pandemic restrictions on Canada Day, there were a lot of nervous Albertans and a lot of concerned epidemiologists. But there were also millions of people who hoped for the best, who wanted Premier Jason Kenney and his government to be right. The sights and sounds of the next few weeks offered a glimpse at something close to normal. Something that could, maybe, hopefully, be close for all of us. And then reality set in, and so did the Delta variant. At that point in the summer, as it was clear the fourth wave was beginning across Canada, there was a choice to be made. Put some restrictions back in place. Use the tools that other governments were using to try to rein the virus back in. Or stay hopeful and wait and see. And wait and see and wait. And here we are.
1,600 cases in a day. We're also talking about 24 deaths in 24 hours.
We continue to do all that we can to increase capacity, particularly in our ICUs where pressure on our staff, physicians and resources is intense.
We're basically on the cusp of requiring to institute a triage protocol. These are the conversations that we're having. This is literally war zone medicine.
Alberta is in bad trouble. Bad enough that provinces who are managing their own fourth waves are sending all the help they can. Bad enough that finally, even Jason Kenney had to do something.
Turmoil within the United Conservative Party and infighting over the government's handling of the fourth wave of the pandemic.
Mandatory stay at home and work from home. Gatherings limited to one household plus another, only up to 10 people.
The government has reluctantly decided to adopt the restriction exemption program, a proof of vaccination program for participation in certain discretionary activities.
Reluctant vaccine passports. A cabinet shuffle, more COVID restrictions. Is all of it too little, too late? How much worse can this get before it turns around? And if this was entirely preventable, as many other Canadian provinces seem to be proving, why was nothing done to prevent it? And what happens now to the people of Alberta who are bearing the brunt of a government's inaction? And what happens to the government itself? And its leader, who sat by for so long. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Jason Markusoff is the Alberta correspondent for Maclean's magazine, which means he's in Alberta, which means I start by saying, Jason, I hope you're safe.
Thanks.
Take me back to the beginning of the quote-unquote best summer ever. What happened on Canada Day?
Canada Day. Jason Kenney stood in front of a big open for summer sign that his somebody in the Premier's office or Alberta government made for branding purposes. And he had some kind of pancake breakfast and he was holding events and he was happy to go around and hug people and celebrate and just welcome us into the post-pandemic age.
What was it like those first few weeks of no restrictions or almost no restrictions and open for business and back to normal? Like, what did it feel like? I feel like
this past summer here in Ontario was not that different from last summer in terms of masks, freedom, et cetera, et cetera. I can't even imagine what it must feel like.
When restaurants were reopening, a lot of people still didn't go, and those who really wanted to go went. We also live in this bifurcated society in Alberta, where there are some people who are still very cautious and very wary, and those who are just can't wait to get their masks off and get back to what seems like normal. Restaurants weren't packed. Some were happy. Patios were doing great. I mean, thank goodness this happened in the summer when there is more opportunity to go outside. You know, the Stampede went on. This was seemed to be Jason Kenney's big, big idea to open in time for the Calgary Stampede in mid-early July. But even they were wary. They were much more wary of the consequences and liabilities of COVID spread than the provincial government and its health ministry were. They had mandatory masking for all staff at the Stampede. They implemented what probably was the first mandatory proof of vaccine system for their big country music tent, Nashville North. So they were cautious. Some groups were cautious. A lot of places in rural Alberta that never wanted restrictions in the first place and tried to defy them often, they went full open. People had friends over for dinner parties and backyard gatherings and, apartment cocktail shindigs like normal. Some people did. A lot of people didn't. But enough people did that, well, we're in this terrible situation right now.
So I think a lot of us know, everybody knows how bad the situation is now. And obviously, none of that was probably a prudent idea. But at the time, I want to be fair, was it regarded as a horrible idea by everyone? Was everybody raising the alarm? Like, what were public health officials and epidemiologists there saying as this began?
It was regarded by most people. I'd say the midpoint was it's a really big risk. Mm-hmm. Our case counts peaked quite high. Our third wave was even worse than the second wave after a pretty mild first wave in Alberta. We went from in late May or early May having 25,000 active cases to by the time we were in early July, having like 800, 500 cases, active cases. So things were really improving. The third wave had abated. Vaccinations seemed like they were doing their magic, but we were still all distancing. The risk was once we all start, getting back cheek to jowl to aerosol, we'll get infected again. We'll start spreading it again. There seem to be a lot of people hopeful that Kenny's big gamble was right, that we wouldn't have this problem. I would say that's where I sat. I thought it was a very dangerous, risky plan, but it could work. It seemed to be potentially working in Britain, and case counts seem to be dropping all over the place. There were a lot of doctors and epidemiologists saying that this is very dangerous. Mm-hmm. But Kenny, clung to the official recommendation that the chief medical officer of health delivered to him, Dr. Dina Hinshaw, that this was prudent. Mm-hmm. I mean, she gives options. I'm sure this wasn't her only option that she gave. But this is the one they took, and this is the one they clung to. And what's worse than the fact that he took a gamble and was wrong was how confident he was that he was going to be right. His team, his aides, and he were naysaying the media. We got to stop fear-mongering about the risks of this pandemic. One of his aides said, the pandemic is ending, get over it.
Right.
A tweet that now lives in Alberta infamy.
It is interesting how hopeful I think Alberta was, but I think the rest of Canada too. I mean, as we were staring down a summer that was not, as I said, going to look much different than the last, as much as I heard some epidemiologists saying what a risk this was, and I'm somebody who's been very prudent with everything throughout this pandemic, I wanted to believe it could work, and I think there was a lot of that from everybody. And so when did it start to come crashing down is maybe the wrong word, but when did it start to become clear, like, here we go?
Case counts started rising in late July, so a couple weeks after Stampede ended. And, normally these interactions take about maybe 2 weeks to percolate into case counts and then longer to percolate into hospitalizations. And as counts were starting to rise in late July, Dr. Dina Hinshaw came up for a press conference once again, and we all expected her to say, well, we're going to be prudent and cautious and put in more restrictions, maybe pull back some of our plans. Mm-hmm. Alberta government did the opposite. Kenny's government trotted out Dina Hinshaw to say that we're going to start looking at this as an endemic. You know, we're going to stop contact tracing. In a few weeks, we're going to stop requiring people to isolate if they have COVID. We'll just make it a recommendation. And a few weeks after that, we're going to abandon routine testing for symptomatic people altogether. It'll be a COVID testing will be a very small thing for diagnostic purposes in some cases, which sounded really, really reckless. And that this government was really aggressively moving into the post-pandemic era, even as things were rising. And August, hospitals started filling up again after getting to, you know, very comfortable lows. ICUs were, you know, had barely any COVID patients. Hospitals were doing much better, much like they were after other waves. It started rising in August, and Jason Kenney was pretty absent from the fray. They did bring out Dr. Hinshaw to say, actually, you still have to isolate. We're going to delay our plan to, you know, move into the full post-pandemic period. And then, you know, a lot of silence, a lot of really uncomfortable silence as Jason Kenney went on vacation to Europe in late August, and his government went into the sort of caretaker mode that a federal government goes in when there's a federal election, except Alberta wasn't an election. They were just trying to lay low so as to not cause the federal conservatives any bother.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
So during the federal election, and I guess during Kenny's vacation, what happened to the COVID situation in Alberta? I think the rest of Canada saw cases rising, started getting worried, were told hospitals were lagging indicators. Did anybody expect it to get this bad, and how bad is it?
We have the most hospitalizations and the most critical care ICU pressures with COVID since this pandemic began. Alberta had it worse than any other province just about in the second wave, and then again in the third wave. And now we are even worse than that at a time when a lot of provinces are not doing so bad or not facing this full brunt of the fourth wave. And that's largely, of course, because we gave the virus so many opportunities to spread. We have fewer vaccinated people than any other province. And there's not a huge gap, but it's enough of a gap that it's clearly mattering here. And we have this culture that Kenny helped support for a while that, made people think that the pandemic was over. He wasn't going to impose any limitations on, like vaccine passports or any inducements. He offered a lottery, and then he ham-handedly and risibly offered $100 to every vaccine holdout to get their shots, you know, which basically said, you guys who are holdouts who didn't do the right thing, get money, and those who did the right thing, well, you already had a vaccine for free. Things just got really bad. Jason Kenney finally came back from vacation, and then he finally acted.
What did he do when he finally came back?
This is when he announced this $100 bonus. They reimposed a mask mandate, which is good because, I mean, people like myself and a lot of others were still wearing masks in grocery stores and, you know, went inside. But, you know, the mask usage really, really dropped because it was all voluntary and nobody was mandating it. So at least we were masked. But they didn't put in other restrictions. They were, reluctant to put in the sort of vaccine passport for most of this month that every other province was enacting, especially including those who were not having any, you know, massive problems with a fourth wave. He thought this was enough. He is facing a lot of pressure from a lot of rural MLAs and in his United Conservative base who really oppose the ideologically and culturally oppose the requirements to close businesses, to wear masks indoors, that the government's going to tell me whether I should get vaccinated or not. There's this real seam in his base, even though a large majority of the province supports more restrictions, wants tougher action, supports vaccine passports. That's not the base that he lives with. And he is, at the same time that he is supposed to be working his butt off to protect public health in Alberta, he is really working his butt off to keep his United Conservative base together and keep his caucus happy.
I'm going to ask you about that in just a second, because I understand that this is a very fluid situation with the UCP and Kenny's leadership in Alberta. But just first, one of the things I think has shocked the rest of Canada is hearing from some doctors in Alberta who are saying things like, make sure you wear your seatbelt. Don't go biking off-road. Don't do anything that could possibly land you in the hospital for any reason, because there's no guarantee you can get care. What do we know about what the triage situation is in hospitals right now?
Alberta at this point has not exercised this triage protocol, as far as I know. That may come, but right now they are really, really worried about how close our hospital system is to the tipping point. We are operating at well past 150% of our normal ICU capacity right now, and that's largely due to COVID. They've been able to expand our ICU capacity by offering surge capacity. They've canceled thousands of surgeries across the province. So not only is there that human suffering with COVID, with many cases of vaccinated and in some cases unvaccinated people in the hospital or critical care or dying, but there's also all these people who have needed cancer surgery, hernia surgery, pediatric surgery, who are having to wait and suffer longer because our hospitals need the capacity. We have ICUs being set up in places that ICUs are not normally set up, like in operating rooms, because we just need that space. I'm not sure how much longer we last before we start bringing in field hospitals. Already the province has put out an SOS to other provinces, mm-hmm, asking for staff, and some provinces are bringing in staff and ICU space. A colleague from City TV, Courtney Tiro, put forward something, that an idea that really crushed me. Like, as terrifying as it is to be isolated in a hospital room suffering from COVID, imagine doing so a couple time zones away from your house.
Man. So what happens now? First, I guess, in terms of how long before we see the curve begin to turn or flatten. But then second, what happens to Jason Kenney? I understand he's shuffling his cabinet. There are questions that he might not be long for the leadership. What is the evolving political situation in Alberta right now?
The reason I kept infusing so many of my questions with politics is because politics underpins everything that Jason Kenney does. Public health has long seemed a supplementary or a consideration, but politics seems to be overarching and underpinning everything, if I can use both those over and under metaphors at the same time. In terms of the wave, though, you hope that with Jason Kenney last Wednesday finally bringing in a type of vaccine passport that was began to be implemented in restaurants and indoor spaces on Monday, September 20th, that's going to make a difference. And some other restrictions on retail spaces and indoor gatherings, social gatherings, you hope that makes a difference. Things don't make a difference right away, so we're still going to see cases rise for a little bit at least. And because hospitalizations are lagging indicators, and as are deaths, we're still going to see those go up. This was far too late to really keep us away from these dangerous tipping points. So I don't know when we get to that, if it's next week or this week. Or who knows? Hopefully we don't get there, but we're on a dangerous track because Kenny waited so late to act with any serious capacity.
Is he going to pay for that with his job? We've seen this cabinet shuffle, and he appears to have thrown his health minister under the bus. I know I'm not going to get you to speak to individual cabinet shuffles, because that's not what we're here for. But are his days numbered as leader of the UCP, I guess, is my main question.
It seems overwhelmingly like he's toast, that he is not long for this job. everybody is angry with him. The rurals who didn't want public health measures have been angry with him. We're hearing increasing frustrations from those who are urban MLAs and people in the bigs in Calgary and Edmonton who are, you know, furious that he's waited so long to protect public health. And both those factions of the United Conservative Party, which he cobbled together from the old Progressive Conservatives and Wild Rose parties, both sides are really angry at him because he's such a bad manager. Mm. And he's not given anybody any confidence in his leadership in how he handles things like apologies or announcements or delays or decisions, that he waffles, that he's confident and then he has to backtrack. And a lot of them are, you know, just worried that the NDP have been leading in the polls for about a year now, and there seems to be no way out of this unless they turf him. There are movements, we've been hearing about MLAs who want him out. There was a party executive in the UCP who's been vocal about him resigning. Constituency associations want him out. I don't understand how somebody faces these many pressures and thinks that a cabinet shuffle on its own is going to solve it.
Is this what a cabinet shuffle and the COVID announcement that he made is about, buying him some more time?
It would seem so. You know, this is desperation mode. You know, there are people who don't want in his cabinet anymore. There are people who don't want to be with him anymore. There are people who don't want to be around him anymore. And he's finding himself with very few loyalists left. So he's trying something. He thinks he can outsmart. He thought he could outsmart COVID. He's thinking he can outsmart the many people inside his own party who hate him. Like it was with COVID, it's a high leap. I guess it could work theoretically, but a lot of things have failed for him that he thought were great ideas in theory before.
Jason, thank you for this. I'd say that I feel for the guy, but I mostly feel for everybody in Alberta that has to live with this now.
We have been living with the consequences of his political decisions for too long, it seems.
Thanks again.
Cheers.
Jason Markusoff of Maclean's. That was The Big Story. For more, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Email us, TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, all lowercase, at rci.rogers.com. And please subscribe, follow, rate, review, like, whatever you can in any podcast player that you choose. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.